morning, church.
Good morning.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, I would like to welcome each and everyone that's here, that's joined with us today, whether on Facebook Live, whether on the phone lines. We'd like to thank you for coming out and worshiping with us today. And we hope that you have a very pleasant worship experience. You know, it's a little rainy outside, so we're not doing a parking lot service. But we all know the sun is still shining. Amen? Maybe not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. He's shining. He's bright. All right. All right, we're going to start off. We're going to, let's have some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for allowing us to be here again today, dear Lord, your servants, to do your will, to do your work, and to do it your way. Dear Lord, we'd like to thank you for just allowing the ones that are able to be with us today on Facebook Live or on the phone lines, just thank you for allowing them to be with us today. Thank you for giving them the do right type of mind, dear Lord. Thank you for touching their hearts, dear Lord. And we ask that this service, dear Lord, will be a blessing to them and to all that they take it to. Dear Lord, we love you this day, and we just can't thank you enough. Dear Lord, we thank you for our health. We thank you for a portion of our strength. Dear Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. We thank you, dear Lord, just for leading us and guiding us, dear Lord, and for giving us your precious Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, for without it, we would definitely be lost. Dear Lord, we love you, and again, we can't thank you enough. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's scripture is going to come to you from the book of Psalms. We're going to read from Psalms 24. And we're going to do verses 1 through 10, the entire Psalms 24. And it reads, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. It said, they will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seeks your face, God of Jacob. Lift your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? The King of glory, this King of glory. The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's God's word, and it has already been blessed. Amen. Yes. All right. So we're going to, it's right here. All right. So Pastor Thompson. Hey, amen. I'm so glad to see you this morning. So good to be in the house of the Lord one more time.
Thankful for his presence, his spirit, and his love. Amen.
Yeah.
Thankful that despite what all we're going through, I know that the Lord is still in control. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank Reverend Mont for opening service and Mr. Turner's opening service. I know he's had prayer for those who, I think you lifted up Sister McAllister. We ask the Lord to remember Sister Faith McAllister. Ask the Lord to remember Pastor Dan Cabino of Hopedale, who's going to have a hip surgery soon. He asked Archie Grove to keep him in prayer, amen. So we'll ask God to bless him, his wife, and his congregation. Also praying for other churches and pastors and friends in the gospel, amen. Those who may be on our prayer list, amen. And as we continue to pray for one another, amen. And despite all that, before I go in, make sure that you vote, let your voice be heard. Whichever way God leads you, that's the way you vote your conscience, amen. And then let us remember, we ought to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, ain't that right?
Amen.
We ought to love one another and be kind to one another and good to one another. Father, as I come now for a short time, God, that you've given me to be your vessel, God, I ask you now, Lord, that you would fill me again with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, anything in me that's not like you, God, I ask you to remove it right now. That your people will not see Michael, but they will see him, Jesus. That they will feel the power of your Holy Spirit. God, as I decrease in myself, God, that you may increase the more and the more. I thank you, God, for those who are in the sanctuary with me. You will lift up their spirits, God. You will give them vision, direction, and purpose, God, for their life. And then those who Facebook Live, God, that you can move, let them know that you are God, and besides you, there is no other. That they don't have to actually be in the sanctuary, but you still can move from heart to heart and breast to breast.
Yeah.
God, we ask you now to bless those who are sick, those who are shut in, God. Just do what you do best, God, and as we are the church, that we will pray and seek your face and turn from our ways, God. We believe that you will heal the land as you said.
Uh-huh.
We and people will know that you are our God, and we are your people. If you will, then I invite your attention to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I will begin reading at verse 14. Amen. Verse 14. Very long chapter. Very long book. I will explain as much as I can without keeping you long. But I'm give you enough to make you want to go back and reread it for yourself. Amen. I'm telling you, this is better than it. I don't know what y'all would have and the have nots. This is much better than the have and the have nots. Amen. All the other stuff that y'all are watching. I don't know what the young folk watching, but I know y'all watching stuff y'all ain't got no business. But I'm telling you that it's in here. Amen. It's very interesting. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. All right, 2 Samuel. Chapter 6, verse 14, I won't hold it quoted very long. It says that then David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was wearing a linen ephod, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed all the people among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, a cake of raisin. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Verse 21. So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over all the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight, But as far as the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 6, very interesting chapter. I will tell you that the parallel chapter to this, if you would, is more detailed, is 1 Chronicles chapter 13. So you write that down and go back and you can play with it amongst yourself and you'll see things in this that you normally would not see. Today I'm going to talk to you from a subject just for a short while. You're doing too much. You're doing too much. Look at your neighbor and say, you're doing too much.
You're doing too much.
In this chapter, you're going to find out that when we do over and beyond what God has called us to do, you're doing too much. When you overextend yourself in work, you're doing too much. When you overextend yourself in what people say about you and think about you, you're doing too much. When you stop doing what God wants you to do, amen. You might not think you're doing anything, but listen to me. If you're not doing it God's way, you're doing too much, amen. And if you put more weight, more honor on what people think of you versus what God thinks and have already said and promised you, listen to me, you're doing too much, amen. If you get tired and you cannot think, amen, you're doing too much, amen. If you can't do one thing well and you're doing several things, listen to me, y'all, you're doing too much, amen. So today I want you to evaluate yourself, whether what you're doing is it what God asked you to do, or are you doing too much, amen. Ask yourself if what you're doing, is it benefiting you, amen. Is it benefiting the people around you? If not, listen to me, you are doing too much, amen. Matter of fact, I can go farther here. This is me interjecting before I start. I don't know if you're like me, but I do this. I read, I have the radio on, the TV on, I'm on the telephone, amen, and I'm not doing anything well. I may be cooking, amen, and the next thing I know, I hear something boiling. Y'all know why? Because I'm doing too much. Yeah. Sometimes you have to do, slow down, take your time, and let God have his way, because you can do too much. There's a song by Charles Brinson and someone. It said, what if God is unhappy with our praise? What if God is unhappy with the way we live? What if God is unhappy with the way we give, right? What if God is unhappy with our praise? Song goes on to say, we must read God's holy word. Let his praises be heard. Ain't that right? Then it goes on to say, sometimes we just have to change the way we walk. We have to change the way we talk. We have to live a life that's pleasing to our King. And in this chapter here, you will find out Brother David. Let's work with him a little bit. David, who is the shepherd boy of Israel. Y'all know that the young man David, when Samuel was called by God to go anoint a king because Saul, who was the king of the people and not the king of God, had started doing his own thing. In other words, Saul was doing too much. And then God sent Samuel down to anoint a son of Jesse. When he gets down to Jesse's house, seven sons who looked like they were the part were not the part. God found Jesse's boy, David, out in the field, tending the sheep. Amen. Because David was doing what God called him to do in a time that God called him to do it. So David really wasn't doing too much. At that time, David really was not doing enough. But God chose him out in the field at the age of 17 to become king. Now, if you fast forward to the chapter that we're in, David has came into his own and now he is king of Israel. But 7 years before that, he had become king of Hebron. In other words, sometimes people will want you to do one thing, but they won't let you do it all. Amen. So David was the king of Hebron at first. That's of the southern kingdom. That's Benjamin and Judah. He was the king. But of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, the older generation, they refused to let David be their king. So they chose a king of their own because just like they said in 1 Samuel, they said, we don't really want God to be our God. We want a king like everybody else. Amen. So here in this chapter, you will find David, he's gathering the men together. Amen. He's gathering them together so they can go to Baalah of Judah and get the Ark of the Covenant. Now let me give you a little background on the Ark. Not much, but just enough so you can understand what it is. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of the Lord. You first find
type of the Ark of the Covenant in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and turned the federal headship over to the devil, the serpent himself, amen, God banded them out of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Verse 24 said he put two cherubim on the east side with flaming swords so they could not get back into the Garden of Eden. In other words, they was not allowed back in the presence of God. That's why today we need mercy and grace in the blood of Jesus to be able to go in the presence of a holy God. But in the Old Testament, Jesus had not manifested yet, so they were banned from the Garden of Eden. But God killed an animal, amen, and used the flesh and the blood, amen, on them. So he had a set way for people to worship him. So he said, what does that have to do with this story? I'll tell you, it had everything to do with this story. In this story, God gathered, through David, gathered the men together. They go to the Baal of Judah to bring the Ark of God in to them where the cherubim sit. Now, the Ark of God, let me tell you where it is, because I really don't have time to go back in that packet because there's a lot of information. But in Exodus chapter 25, you will find out in the tabernacle, as the tabernacle moved and the children of Israel were going to the promised land, they would plant, amen. And then you would have the Kohathites, or in other words, the Levites. They were the ones who set up the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the Ark of the Covenant, it was nothing but shittim wood. It was just a box like this. Just a box of shittim wood. And over top of the shittim wood, it had gold. And that layer of gold had cherubim, angels, that were their wings were touching, that represented the presence of God. And when God came in the midst of the people, he came in the middle of the cherubim. That's what the ark represented, was the presence of the Lord. And then you will find out that God gave specific instructions. In Numbers chapter 4, he told them that what they supposed to do. In Numbers chapter 4. That the Levites were to set up the Ark of the Covenant, but they was not supposed to look at the Ark of the Covenant. They had to put up a curtain. They had to put up a veil. And it's ironic that that veil was blue. Amen. It was blue. Everything under it was blue. All the cups, all the bowls, everything that was used was blue. That blue was a symbol of grace. Amen. And after they got everything in place, and they covered it with another layer that was scarlet. In other words, it was red, representing the blood of Christ. And then over that blood, it had a leather covering over it. In other words, no, but they were not supposed to look in the ark, and they was not supposed to touch the ark, because the ark had a specific way. After the Kohathites or the Levites had the ark set up, then the Aaron and his sons, or the priests who came in to do the work of the Lord, they still couldn't look in. They couldn't touch it. They had to turn their shoulders and walk in, amen, and then reach and pull the cover off, amen, and then worship the Lord, amen. Y'all with me now? All right, so after they did all this, God had a set way to carry. You couldn't just reach and look in the ark. You would die. You couldn't just touch the ark, because you would die, amen. So God had two gold rings on each side of the pole that each one could carry, amen, the way God had designed it to be carried, amen. But in this story, let me tell you what happened. David gathers all the men, and then they go to Baal. Verse 3 says, and they set the ark of God, look at this, it says, on a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahu, the sons of Abinadab, drove the cart. If I tell you what happened, let me give you an idea of what I'm saying to you. In 1 Samuel, every time Israel got ready to go up to battle, they took for granted that God was with them. In other words, they didn't desire the presence of God. They're like us. They only wanted God to come in when they needed God. But when they wanted to do their own thing, they took that box and they set it to the side. Amen, somebody. And then they got in a fight with the Philistines and they took the ark of God, because they thought that just because they had the box with them, that God was going to fight for them. But they didn't know that they just had the box, but they didn't have the presence. Amen. And they lost to the Philistines, and the Philistines took the ark of God for a long time. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 5, you will find out that the Philistines took the ark of God. And you know what they did? They didn't know what it was. They looked in the ark of God. When they looked in the ark of God, I want you to know the first city was Gath. The people got sick. Some folks started to die. And it was 5 cities in the Philistine region. Amen. They took it. They said, they can't stay in this city. We're going to take it from this city. And we're going to give it to the next city. Amen. So they rolled it out and took it. next city of the Philistines. Y'all know what happened? The people got tumors, amen. And the people got sick, amen. Because they took something holy that was supposed to be in the presence of God's people, and they took it upon themselves to try to use it for their own glory, and they got sick, amen. And then what they did, they took it. They said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to send it to the main capital city, and we're going to set it up, and their God was Dagon. And they set him up in chapter 5, and Dagon was standing up, amen, in the temple, amen. They set the ark of God in there with him, and when they came back the next day, Dagon's head had fell off, amen, and he had rolled in the floor, and the ark of God was still standing there, amen. That let them know that the God of Israel was the true and the living God. And I'm trying to tell somebody here today, stop playing with the presence of God. I don't care who we are, I don't care what position you hold, in the church, outside the church, in government, out of government, I don't care how much money you have, nobody is God but God. He's God all by himself. That's why he's sovereign, because he's God. They found out that God was not playing. They took the ark of God and they rolled it out. And they called Aminadab, amen. They didn't have it back in that day, but just in my sanctified imagination, somebody picked up their cell phone, amen. And they said, hey, come and get this thing out of here, amen, because we can't deal with it. And so the Israelites, they went and got it, and they took it on the hill in the house of Aminadab. Now here in this chapter, y'all see him again. It said in verse 3, they set the ark of God on a new cart. What's wrong with that? They didn't put it like God had said, did they? They put it on a new cart. Just because technology is new and things are new, holiness is still right. You can't treat God's house any kind of way. I know people can't come in because of COVID. I know it's some stuff we can't do, but God is still holy. And when you come in his presence, you gotta act like you know. Amen. So it said they set it on a new cart. They brought it out to the house of Abinadab. It was on the hill. Now I told y'all, look how long that's been. In other words, when you go back and study it, it was an entire generation almost that the ark of God was in the house of Abinadab. But look what happened. His boys, Abihu and Us, they had the ark of God in their house all those years. The presence of God all those years. Look what happened. It's saying, look, and they brought the ark of God out of Abinadab's house, verse 4, which was on the hill accompanying the ark of God, and Ahu went before the ark. Look, then David and all the house of Israel, because he knew what to do. 1 Chronicles 13, you're going to find out that David got with the old folk and said, what we do? What we do is we praise God. Whenever you come in the presence of God, you ought to praise God and lift God up. Stop listening to these dry folk, these dry churches talking about no instruments. And that ain't nothing but a lie. God wants your best praise. And to get God to get in the place for you to worship him, you got to praise him. You got to lift him. You got to thank him. You got to glorify him. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So now here it is at Abinadab. And I hope David played the music. Verse 5. All kinds of instruments, wood, harp, string, instruments, tambourine, cisterns, and in other words, they had a party. They had a Holy Ghost party. But then something happened, verse 6, it said, when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, nobody really knows where that is. It said, Uzzah put out his hand, the hand on the ark of God. And y'all already know that's wrong because I just explained it to you, didn't I? And he put his hand out and took a hold of it, look, because the ark stumbled. Now let me help somebody. There's so many people invested in the church trying to tell God what to do, trying to help God, trying to pop. God don't need our help. God needs us to do what we are called to do, and God will do the rest. It's God that keeps us from falling, not us from keep God from falling. Y'all get it? And so this man reached his hand out. Now think about it. He already knew better, because the aunt had been in his house all that time. He had instructions. His daddy had instructed him all his life. But y'all know what he did? It wasn't nothing to him but an old piece of furniture. It probably was just like a dresser. And when his daddy said, I want you to go move that thing, he was like, move it. But when you talk that old piece of furniture, man, that thing ain't been in the court. No. That's the presence of the Lord. That's the ark of God, and the king is coming to get it. And when the king, it's an honor for you to be able to do it. And he took it for granted. And that's what I'm saying. Don't let folk trick you. Don't let folk make you think or take the presence of God lightly. Don't take the presence of God lightly in your house. Because the presence of God in your house gonna save your children, gonna save your grandchildren. The stuff you're praying about, God is working on it right now. And if you leave it alone and let God work it out, you're gonna see the blessings come in your house. This man refused to do it God's way and reached out his hand. And he died. And look at verse 8. David, who's a man after God's own heart. David, who's a man that's chosen by God. David, a man who God found out in the field, picked him up and turned him around, took him from the sheepfold to the king's palace. David got angry with God. Y'all see it? He said he got angry with God because the Lord had an outbreak against us. Now, David knew the word of God. He knew that Uzzah was wrong, and that's what we have to do. Verses 5 through 8, that's the first point I want to tell you. Be careful not to get offended by what God does. Because sometimes God will do things and we get mad with God because we say, God, how dare you? How dare you somebody in our family get sick? How dare you somebody in our family die? How dare you, God, not answer my prayer? How dare you, God? He can do it because he's God. And he knows better for you than you know for yourself.
Yeah.
So the first thing is be very careful. Be very careful when you get offended by what God does.
Yeah.
And then look at this. The next thing is, David was afraid. My Bible says afraid. But basically, he got offended at the Lord. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So verse 10, look what it is. He would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. Y'all see it? He changed his mind. But David took it to the other side of the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Now look at this. That means something. Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Do y'all remember? In 1 Samuel 17, David's main fight was with Goliath. David had to defeat the giant before he got the promise of God. That's what somebody here, you're going to have to fight somebody before you get what God wants you to have. Y'all hear me now? Everybody not going to let you walk into the blessings of the Lord. But this is significant. Look at this. It said that the outbreak came. In other words, that the Gittite, right? Y'all see it? And this Gittite, that's what Goliath was. Goliath was a Gittite. Obed-Edom was a Gittite. Now look at the difference. Goliath was a hater of God because he started talking about God. That's what made David want to fight him in the 17th chapter of Samuel. Y'all remember? But here, the Gittite gets blessed. What's the difference? David got mad with God. He was a man of God. Called by God, anointed by God, but he missed the blessings of God. Lord have mercy. The Gittite, the one who was a Gentile, he wasn't even a Jew, he was a Gentile, but yet he got blessed. Oh man, let me tell you, let me go help y'all. Verses 9 through 11, don't miss the blessings of God. Listen to me, don't miss the blessings of God doing too much. Amen. Don't miss the blessings of God. Because look, David missed the blessing of God because he sent the presence of God away because he got angry because of what God did. And then the Gittite, the one who you least expect, accepted the presence of God and God came in. See, I'm trying to tell you, it don't matter who you are. If you call on the name of the Lord, he will show up. And when he show up, he's going to show out and bless you beyond me. First one is be careful. Be careful being offended by what God does. That's verses 5 through 8. Verses 9 through 11. Don't miss God's blessing.
Uh-huh.
Y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
So now David finds out. Because y'all do know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, right?
Yeah.
David finds out that the house of Obed-Edom is blessed. Verse 11 said, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his house. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all in here today. That if you would allow God in your house, you ain't got to anoint nobody. You ain't got to pray over nobody. You ain't got to touch nobody. You ain't got to rebuke nothing. All you got to do is let God in your house, God in your heart. Watch God work it out for your situation. Yeah. So now here it is. David left the ark. Obed-Edom gets blessed in 11. Verse 12, it was told of David. Faith comes by hearing. He heard that the Lord had blessed Obed-Edom and all his belongings. Look, because the ark of God, what did I tell you how the ark of God was? The presence of God. Yeah. He got blessed because the presence of God. So David, look, now David goes back And he missed the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with glad. Now it looked like he was selfish though. Because some people don't want God until they see God working in your life. When they see God working in your life, they want to know how in the world you get blessed. Some people know who you, where you come from. And they can't figure out how you got where you are today. But they don't know that God's plan was for you to be blessed. And even when you messed up, let me talk to you now. You have messed up and you know in your mind and your heart where you messed up. And God still bless you anyway. Isn't that right? And then God allows some folk to see where you messed up. And they keep on trying to go back to where you was and who you used to be. And you look at them and say, I'm not him no more. I'm not her no more. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But now here they come that David went and brought the ark of God to the house from Obed-Edom to the city of David, and the Bible says that he brought it with gladness. Amen. And look what it says. It says, and so it was that when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted calves. Look what he did. Now, look what he did now. First thing is, you can't wait until you get to where God is taking you to. You got to stop every now and then and give God some praise. How was that, everybody? His whole thing was to get the ark back to the city of Jerusalem, right? Back to the tent that God had given him. That was his goal. But he was so happy that God had blessed him that every 6 paces he stopped and he blessed him. Let me go ahead on, because y'all ain't got enough time and I ain't got enough wind. 6 is the number of man. Y'all hear me now? 6 is the number of man. In other words, when you do your best and I do my best, our best ain't good enough. Ha! But you know that God will take what you've got and he'll turn it into a lot. Amen. God will take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed your house, the next house, and the house after that house. Y'all hear me now? Because God is able to do it. So when you've done your best, that's 6, the number of man. You get to stop and give God praise. Yeah. Thank God that you're still here. Thank God that he's still blessing you. Yeah. Thank God that he's still keeping you. Yeah, some folk have died. Yeah, we're going through trouble. Yes, there's hate in the country, but we're still standing. Ain't that right? Because God is able to keep you from falling. Here it is. Gotta go. Feeling too good. Gotta go. Gotta go. You always should have joy in the presence of the Lord. That's my third point. Verses 12 through 19, always remember to keep joy in the presence of the Lord. Nehemiah 18 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, people are going to try to distract you. They're going to try to make you stop. They're going to try to make you quit. Do not quit. Keep on giving God the glory. And when you don't know what to do, what did David do? He took 6 places and he praised the Lord. When you don't know what to throw your hands up and give God a hallelujah praise and thank him for the little bit that you do have and watch God work it out for you. Here it is, and then David, verse 14, David put the Lord with all his might. He was wearing a linen ephod. And that means something. David was the king. When was he wearing a crown? Where was David wearing the royal diadem? Where was he wearing the royal regal robe? Where did he take off and put on a linen ephod, a common garment? Y'all know why? Because it don't matter what y'all call me, Pastor Thompson, Reverend. No. I'm a child of God. I ain't nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I ain't nothing but a wretch undone. When I go in the presence of God, I got to get out of the robe and put my Bible down. God don't care who you are, how you preach, how you sing, what you do. He don't care. He just wants you. So you got to take that off sometime.
Yeah.
Y'all hear me now? That's why we ain't in church. I keep giving y'all a little nugget though. But now I'm going to give you one. That's why we're not in church. Because folk don't can't forget who they are. They got to come in church and be important. You are not important in God's house. God is the important one in his house.
Yeah.
And when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. Y'all hear me? So take off all who you think you are. Take it off. Because in the presence of God, he knows who you are anyway. Amen. Y'all remember the children in the garden when they messed up? God came in the cool of the day. They had sold some fig leaves together. Y'all remember? And they was hiding out. God said, what y'all doing hiding? They said, because we naked. God said, who told you you're naked? In other words, you can't cover up when God comes. Because he sees all and he knows all.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. So then an ark of the Lord came into the city. David shouting, David dancing. Y'all hear me? I don't know what y'all favorite dance is. I know back in the day I can dance a little bit, amen. Can't dance like you two, amen. But after every now and again you hear the right song, everything hit you, amen, right? And I'm pretty sure that David heard something, yeah. And the thing hit him, David started dancing, amen. The Bible said David started leaping, David started wailing, amen, because the ark of the Lord was finally in the house. David offered burnt offerings and sacrifice, verse 17. But up on verse 16, it said that Saul's daughter, Michal, despised David in her heart. Michal was the daughter of Saul. When David was a warrior, she loved David. Saul was the mentor of David. He tried to kill David, right? He did everything he could to get rid of David because he understood that David was the one who was getting ready to take his place. So he was jealous. He tried to kill him. His daughter loved him. So she covered him. Y'all hear that? And she loved the man David when he was a warrior. But now he's in front of Israel. He's broken down. And in other words, he probably was crying. He probably was shouting. Amen. And some folk can take you when you're on top of the mountain. But when they see you at your weakest point, amen, if they can't hang with you then, they can't hang with you on top. Amen. And so David understood who she was. And she said, and David said that she was Saul's daughter. But David, look what he did though. David finished the burnt offering. He never stopped worshiping. That's my next point. No matter what folk do to you, no matter how they feel about you, don't stop worshiping God. Let me say that one more time. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, no matter what people do to you, don't stop worshiping God. So now David's wife despises him. Amen. And he goes and he does the burnt offerings, the peace offering. He blessed all the people. Look, not in his name, but in the name of the Lord of hosts. Y'all see it in verse 18? He didn't take credit for it. He said, to God be the glory. And then he distributed among all the people. So when David got blessed, he blessed everybody else. Amen. And sound like somebody else I know. Yeah, I hate to say it like that, but you like that, Doc. You like that. When you get blessed, you like to bless everybody else. That can't be nobody but God, because everybody else wants to hoard up everything. But when you want to pour out, that ain't nobody but God. I'm trying to hear somebody else. And people don't like it when you tell them. Stay back in the bed. Stop. So David, it said that displeased Saul. David blessed all the people. He distributed everything, verse 19. But then this is what he does. He goes to his own house in verse 20. And he goes to bless his own house. Y'all see it? Because never come to church and talk and bless other folks' house and then go home and disrupt your own house.
Amen.
Y'all hear me there? So when God blesses you somewhere else and you're lifting everybody up, make sure that you bless your house. But here it is, let's go on with you. I didn't give y'all enough points now. I can go on with it now. Y'all know what it's like to be scorned, ain't that right? This woman is mad and she's scorned. She said, how glorious but the king today in the eyes of the maid servant. Y'all see it? Y'all see it? He said, you were shameful of uncovering yourself out there twerking in front of them women, right? And your mother, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But y'all got to understand, if you go back to 1 Samuel, when Saul tried to kill David, that Jonathan trained David. It was the son of Saul. And daughter of Saul loved David. She hid David, but David had to flee. When David fled, she remarried. Now, when the kingdoms came back together, Abinadab came together and made a deal with David. Abinadab was a friend of Saul, amen. But then he made a pact with David. David tell Ishbosheth, I tell you what I'll do. I'll make peace with y'all. I'll do it for the skins of the Philistines, 300 or 400, I can't remember, it was one of them, 300 or 400. And if you would go back and get my wife and my call, if you would bring my call back to me. And the Bible says that Ishbosheth did that. He went and he took Michal from the husband that she was with at the time, and the man came behind her crying, and you know the army stood up and said, boy, you better get back, amen. And David took her back, amen. So now he took back what was already separated, and now he got a problem in his house. The Bible said that at that point in time, David says to her, here it is, what I want y'all to see. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father over all the house, because he knew she was jealous. And that's for somebody, you got to let somebody know when they trying to tell you that God has not put you where you are. When they try to tell you that God is not with you, You got to look back over your life and remind them where God brought you from. Where you was on the backside of the mountain, but God kept you. When you didn't have that much, but God kept you. When folk walked away from you, but God kept you. When folk lied on you, but God kept you. When you didn't know how you was going to see one day from the next day, but God kept you. David said, you don't know, understand that God chose me. He said, I'm going to play this music. He said, I'm going to be even more undignified. Then it said that she didn't have no more children. And I'm saying that to say, all this boy, go to my seat. Then go ahead on and let folk try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. You know what's going to happen? They're going to abort their future. You don't have to fight. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fuss. All you got to do is just keep on praising God. Because listen to me. Everybody keeps saying, I can't wait to get back in the church. Ain't y'all heard me say that? And when we get back in church, Reverend Thompson and Reverend Turner and Reverend Cook and Reverend whoever that's preaching, y'all know what they're going to say. We're preaching too loud and we're preaching too long. But Sister Maria, whoever gets up to sing the praise of God, they sing it too loud and they sing it too long. But I want to tell you right now, I don't care what folks say, I will give God the glory because I know where he brought me from. I know I don't have no business doing this. I know I should be dead sleeping in my grave. And when folks keep on talking about you doing too much, I'm like David, you ain't seen nothing yet, because when he really blessed me, I'm going to do much more than this. Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
Never let nobody other than God tell you that you're doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one who directs your path. Make sure that you are listening to God and you're doing everything that you can do, and God will do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But when people begin to talk and tell you that you're doing too much, you tell them, next time you can breathe life into somebody, you can hold the world in the palm of your hands, then you go head on and do it. I'm gone, but I'm going to tie this in. I got to go. Psalm 24 that Reverend Lamont read. Go back and read it for yourself. It says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we that dwell herein. Ain't that right? And then who can ascend into the hills of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity? In other words, who can stand in the presence of the Lord? Nobody can stand in the presence of the Lord except they come by him, Jesus. That's what the ark was, amen. That wood was the humanity of Jesus, and that gold was the divinity of Jesus. So what you got was you got the cross and you got the crown all in one thing, amen. And if you got Jesus, you can walk in the presence of God, amen. He'll bless you. He'll keep you. He'll sanctify you. He'll do everything that you need to be the child that he wants you to be.
Oh, yeah.
If there's one today out there, you don't know Jesus in the free will pardon of your sin, this is your chance to give him your heart and give him your soul. You don't have to come to no man. You can just go to him, fall down on your knees, and let him know that you understand that you are a sinner and that you need his salvation. You need his blood, you need his mercy, and you need his grace. And God will be the one who will deliver you. I'm going to ask Reverend Lamont if he would come and close us out with a word of prayer, and we can go on to the house. How about that? Amen. 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 Never let nobody tell you that you're doing too much.
Amen. Never let nobody tell you you're doing too much.
What a wonderful message. What a wonderful message.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this day just thanking you for blessing us with this wonderful message. Thanking you for being who you are in our lives, dear Lord. And thanking you for just explaining to us about some of the issues about how men would tell us that we're doing too much. But unless you tell us we're doing too much, we're going to keep right on. Keep right on doing. We're doing it for you, oh Lord. Dear Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be able to be blessed with another service, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for just each and everything you've done. We thank you for blessing us through this week that we're getting ready to go through. We're just thanking you in advance, oh Lord. Lord, we just thank you because we can just never thank you enough. Dear Lord, we want to just say Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you,
Father.
Dear Lord, you know, don't know, nobody likes to be in the house of God more than I do, Lord. But, you know, until you say it's time, dear Lord, we understand. But we're going to keep on doing what we do, dear Lord. We're going to get your word out no matter what it takes, dear Lord. If we have to do it outside, or we have to do it on Facebook, or we have to do it over the phone lines. Whatever it takes, dear Lord. We're going to do your work. We're going to do your will, but we're going to do it your way, dear Lord. And we're going to continue to pray and seek your guidance, dear Lord. You let us know when the time is right. And when the time is right, let us know the right way to do it, dear Lord. Dear Lord, and we're just going to walk in your footsteps, dear Lord. Just order our steps, and we'll do it your way, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we ask that you please just bless each and every one under the sounds of our voice, dear Lord.
Yes.
Dear Lord, bless them and let them take this message into their hearts, dear Lord. Into their souls, dear Lord. Dear Lord, let them pass it around, dear Lord, to those who weren't able to hear it this morning directly from the pastor, dear Lord. But each and every one of you all can be a vessel to take this word out to the community. And we ask that you please just bless us all as we take your word out, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in the lives of your saints, dear Lord. And our prayer today is that you please just let your sweet Holy Spirit, dear Lord, commune with us this week until we get back together next week, and just be with us here for now